Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Even though it was over a week ago, it seems like 3 weeks, 2 weeks, maybe more, since Victoria and I gathered to do a Pucks in 7. It's the holiday break. It was the holiday break for the NHL. They're back. We're back. We wanted to do it Wednesday. Well, different things kind of happened to make us do it Wednesday. But the big thing is, because Tuesday they came back, so we have more things to talk about. But the point is, we're back at it, and this is Pucks in 7. Good to have you with us. Follow us on Twitter at RyanPayton75, at Victoria Matiash. And Vic does some great work, of course, not just with ESPN.com, the fantasy side of things forever, but also with a major news talk station in Toronto. And she has been keeping so busy. Vic, the fact that you're here, the fact that I'm looking at you.
me today, Ryan. Sorry.
Okay, so that's all we're going to hear from Victoria. We're going to get into...
carry on.
The whole thing. Anyway, my point is she's been doing great work and it's been busy for her. I do work for Sirius XM, NHL Network Radio. We're back too doing my show on the weekend, The Hot Stove on Channel 91, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. So make sure you join us then. And the NHL is back. So what we do in the show, we go back to the week that was, different week because there was a bit of a break. Then we also look ahead to the week to come. Vic does her Fantasy 7, and we bring down the clink hammer as well, and we constructively criticize people, different topics in the NHL. In this case, we will talk about the Ducks and the point system. I'm glad you put the point system in this thing, because I've been wanting to talk about this for a while. Anyway,
I figured
happy
it was
holidays,
a good time.
By the way. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. A frenetic time just with everything going on. I mean, I think we're both in fortunate situations that not everybody is in, spending a lot of time with family and friends. We have great groups of friends.
Yeah.
We have good family. Again, not everybody is so fortunate, but it's still very, very busy. I'm very, very tired. I think I need a week of herbal tea and spinach salad just after all the indulgences and gluttony.
Is that the go-to for you, tea and spinach salad?
My body's craving it now, just with all, okay. I mean, it's been a week and a half of 35% whipping cream and blocks of butter, right? So we just need to shift over to something a little bit more digestible.
Yeah, we do. It is what it is, right? We're having fun, good times. Again, happy holidays still from all of us to everybody listening. By the way, you can follow us too, wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon, Apple, Google, also on the SiriusXM app, on Stitcher and Pandora as well. Tons to get to. We'll talk about the Calgary Flames. We'll look at Columbus. We'll also mention Buffalo. Please take care of Buffalo and all around too. A lot of kind of the northern parts of the states.
Down there. Yeah. Or over there, I should say, right now.
It is. It is. So many storms. So anyway, we'll address that, address the Sabres, that type of thing. We'll talk about the Devils, the Carolina Hurricanes flying, Connor McDavid doing his thing. But let's begin with Alexander Ovechkin, because in case you didn't hear, he not only tied Mr. Hockey Gordie Howe, but he surpassed Mr. Hockey Gordie Howe last week. 2 goals against the Jets, getting 801 and 802. I have an issue with the 802. I'll save it for just a second. You talk about what you think about the whole thing with the
Well, you could sort of smell it happening, right? Because it was a final game before the break, and you just knew that he had gone several days in a row without tying Gordie Howe and without breaking it. He was playing Winnipeg. He likes to score against Winnipeg for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And you could sort of smell it that the pair was going to come to just put it to bed so he could enjoy his holiday. What I will say about it now, though, now that he's reached the milestone, broken the record, and now he's chasing Gretzky. He's not making it this season. Who knows about next season? I mean, we've got a ways to go here. Right?
Yeah, 92 away to tie. 92 away to tie.
So I think we stop talking about it now.
Fine with me.
We're not going to, you know, hammer on. Now he's 75 away from Gretzky. Now he's 63 away from Gretzky. First of all, that's boring. It's tiresome, but also it's largely irrelevant. We can readdress this a couple of seasons from now and see where he's at and when he becomes closer, because it's been a lot of Ovechkin talk. More power to him. He's a fantastic hockey player. Yeah. The accomplishment deserves recognition, whatever you might think of him otherwise. And let's just leave it at that.
Okay, last one too, 46 goals, 92 divided by 2, that's 46. So he's 92 away from tying Gretzky at 894. So say he gets 46 next season, right? And however many goals he gets this season. Again, I say a season and a half, we'll be talking about Ovechkin tying and surpassing Wayne Gretzky with that. My issue with the 802 is this. He didn't want to score into that empty net. He didn't want to score his 802nd goal into the empty net. I think Peter Laviolette, I know this wouldn't have happened. I get it. He's home, and then they went on the road, but they're coming back, Washington is, for a few games on a homestand. So you're going to get it. So Peter Laviolette should have said, look, it's an empty net. We're probably going to win this hockey game. Do you want me to put you out to try to get 802, which is a magical mark to best one of the greatest, not only players of all time, but ambassadors of the game of hockey? Do you want me to do that or keep you off? So when you come back, you may get a chance to get it on the road, or we've got three games coming up at home to try to get to 802. Because you're going to, he didn't want to do it, Vic. If you see the replay of that, he didn't even look at the net. He kind of flipped it toward the net and, oh, it went in. There was no celebration.
I could not disagree with you more. Could
Why?
Not disagree with you
How
more.
You
I don't think he's
okay.
nearly as picky about picking his spots as you think.
Okay, so maybe I'm being picky because I'm a fan. I wanted to see
your fairy tale isn't his. I think he wanted to put that baby to bed. I think he wanted to enjoy his holiday break, and I think he wanted it over and done with. And now he can just resume playing with the Washington Capitals. Hey, they won 5 straight, man. Now they are charging towards, you know, moving up the Metropolitan Division. I think he wanted it over and done with. So no, you and I are not on the same page here.
And that is okay that we're not. That's okay that we're not. And look, for his 802, he had 802 more than I ever got in the NHL. So he can do whatever he wants, and he can score.
What a coincidence.
He can score however he wants. But my thing, it just would have been nice to see, like, the Gretzky 50 and 39. The 50 thing was a little bit more intense because you want to get to 50 so quickly in as little games as possible. 802, take your time. You'll get there at some point. But my whole thing was, all the patented shots he's had, even the 800 was different. The hat trick he got to get all the way up to that point. I just wanted to see more. Am I being selfish? Yeah.
Okay. You did. Anyway. But now we're looking at the Capitals again. Right. Again, just mentioned, won 5 straight. They're climbing up their division. And look at this. They could have Tom Wilson back this week. And they've missed him a ton. They could have Nicky Backstrom back next week. I know they lost John Carlson and he's out indefinitely. Again, he was in a rough situation with, you know, sustaining a head injury or face injury, I guess. Anyways, a bad injury up here. Yeah. And hopefully he's back sooner rather than later. But they're getting two key figures up front back already on a 5-game winning streak. They've got an easy schedule for the rest of this week. Montreal and Ottawa, I believe. Yeah. And so they could get rolling in a hard hurry.
What I like about what they're doing, they beat the Rangers coming out of the break on Tuesday.
Did they ever?
And New York had come in having won 8-10. What's been very good about their game lately is the 5-on-5 play. And I think, does 5-on-5 play get enough recognition? I don't
Probably
know.
Probably not.
Yeah. How important is it? It's incredibly important. Look, you don't have to follow the game of hockey to know it's easier to score a goal 5-on-4, 4-on-3 than it is 5-on-5. You have more of the puck when you're up a man on the ice than you're down a man on the ice. But the 5-on-5 game and what they've done lately, with not only New York on Tuesday, but even before that, during this streak, has been amazing. They're shutting teams down. They're shutting down their chances. And you mentioned, too, with Carlson out, Dmitry Orlov, I saw this. He was on the ice at 5-on-5 back on Tuesday. It was yesterday, not that long ago. 1843, the time that he was on. The Caps had 20 attempts on goal to 15. They outscored them with chances 12-4. And he played on the penalty kill. He played on the power play. So with John Carlson out, again, hopefully he'll be fine. That was just an awful thing. There's others that need to step up, and Dmitry Orlov is doing that.
Underrated defenseman, for sure.
Yeah, he is.
And
yeah,
also,
he is.
Your one last point on your 5-on-5, because this is Pucks in 7. It's not Washington Capitals in 7.
Right.
You're playing 5-on-5 most of the game. That's why it matters.
Right.
You have to be better 5-on-5 than otherwise, because your opportunities with the extra skater are few and far between. So that's the crux of the matter.
Connor McDavid, quick question, short, long answer, whatever you want. Will we see at some point down the road McDavid surpassing Alex Ovechkin, who we do think will surpass Wayne Gretzky?
You're leaping right to it, eh?
We're not going to build up to it. No.
Does he beat Ovechkin, assuming Ovechkin does catch Gretzky? Is that what we're asking? I believe so. He has already scored 31 goals in 36 games this season. Yeah. That's rather bananas.
On pace for 70.
Say again, sorry.
On pace for 70.
On pace for 70.
Yep.
He's not going to score 70.
That'd be nice.
I think he scores 60. I think he might flirt with 65.
Mm-hmm.
The math is actually rather incredible. If you look at, he's turning 26 years old in a matter of days. He's going to play until he's 41 or 42 years old. It's my guess. As long as he doesn't sustain a serious injury, the way that he keeps his body in shape, his discipline, I mean, I don't think he's had an ounce of fat or a beer or what have you. Kills himself in the off season. I'm not sure if he works out with Gary Robertson or not, but if he does, if he doesn't, he works out with somebody of the equivalent. It's just the way he's built, the way he plays, his determination. I can see him playing into his 40s. So let's say another 15 years, 40 to 45 goals a season on average, because that has been his average since his third year in the season, since he hasn't been a teenager, essentially. Yes, for sure. I think he's 900. The math adds up for me.
Yeah, it does. Yep. He's on a 16-game point streak as well. And last season, he was on a 17-game point streak. So
do you
he's
find
on
we
16.
Take him for granted, like the hockey world?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we
because
do.
Because we can talk about him every single day. Yeah. And we just don't, because the assumption is he's just being a crazy video game avatar again. And that's what we assume he's going to do day in, day out. We had these conversations about who's going to win the heart. He's going to win the heart. But we like to talk about Kirill and other players who are, you know, having great seats. Oh, Tage Thompson, is he going to be in the conversation?
Yep.
And it's just hilarious to me. Connor McDavid's going to win the heart. Of course he is. If he's healthy, he's winning the heart.
Because people want to talk about something different.
Of course
they
do.
As much as you want to talk about the same story, and we will talk about the same story with McDavid, but you're right. I don't think it's odd for us to say that he doesn't get as much recognition as he should, but he's just a I'm just glad, and I've said this too. I mean, you and I won't divulge it, but we're pretty much the same age. So we've been through the same eras of hockey. And it's been great to see players like, I'm going to date ourselves right now. Here we go. Don't hate me for this. It's privileged to see players like Gretzky and Lemieux and Sidney Crosby
for sure.
And Matthews. All these different eras of players coming in decades.
I mean, I really enjoyed watching Rocket Richard back in the day, you know, you live and in person. That was a real treat for me.
Hold on. Just wait. Okay.
Anyway. We were both born in the 70s. We can just say that.
Yes. Okay,
so
fair enough. Yes.
We've experienced a lot of great 80s hockey.
We have.
And understanding it and appreciating it and going forward. And it's neat to see somebody else of that ilk.
Edmonton, unacceptable loss to Vancouver before the break.
That was their words.
That was, yes, and I think that was unacceptable. And then they come back and they get a win against Calgary to go off on the
and that
on
was
the right
a tight game,
to
too. They played one of their better defensive games in that, and that has been a weakness for them. I mean, we've talked about this all season. Are we going to see the Oilers in the postseason? I'm not very sure about that at all. And it's even with two of the best scoring forwards in the league, and McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and Ryan Nugent Hopkins has had a heck of a season. He doesn't get enough attention this year either.
You know who I'm liking
too? A little bit porous. Go ahead.
I'm liking Tyson Barrie. I'm liking Tyson Barrie and what
defensively,
he's doing
defensively, or is it a puck moving defenseman? Because he's great. He's a great puck moving defenseman.
Yeah, puck moving. Yeah, he's getting on the score sheet. He's so my whole thing with Edmonton, and we've talked about this, is the secondary scoring. It doesn't matter if it's not coming from your second, third, fourth line.
Oh, fair point. Right.
If Barry's doing it, then maybe it'll take a bit of heat off McDavid and Draisaitl. That's all I was getting at. But yeah, defensively, he's always not been that defensive kind of player.
No,
but
he has not.
Yeah, he's not.
And but that was a nice win. My point is that was a nice win. A nice 2-1 win over a Flames team that's been pretty hungry of late. So
yeah, I'm still not in on the Flames. I'm getting more in on Edmonton. I'm not in on the Flames. I'm not in on the Panthers. I'm not in on the Flames. Anyway, we'll see if I'm in on them as things progress in 2023.
Let's talk a little bit more Calgary coming up in the next set, because I have more to say about that. Okay. But Hurricanes first.
Oh my gosh, speaking of progressing, 13-0-2, unbeaten in 15 with their point streak, that is, extending the point streak to 15. They beat Chicago. You and I could beat Chicago. Well, most, no, I don't know. We probably need some help. But anyway, the point is they beat Chicago 3-0 on Tuesday, and they've won 9 straight. You and I talked about this. We talked, I think, last time we did this, even a little bit before. Watch out. They're gaining, I know this is going to be a pun, gaining strength, like gaining force, all that type of nonsense you say with Hurricanes. But the fact is that this is the team we thought they would be. This is the team that we know they are. And the health and everything else is coming together with this 9-game streak. So I'm not surprised. Is it sustainable? No, they're going to lose at some point. But the fact is, point streak in 15, kind of like the Leafs did not too long ago, too.
What's really been incredible and fun to watch is they're getting scoring from some unusual suspects. It's not all Svechnikov. Sebastian Aho was actually out for quite a period of time as well. Have you seen what Jordan Staal has been doing lately?
Amazing.
He's centering. This is a Jordan Staal of, goodness, how many years ago? I mean, he's been in the league forever and ever. And he is on five game point streak right now. He's got 3 goals and 5 assists. Those are not Jordan Staal numbers this year.
Yep.
But he's centering a third line. They're having a heck of a time out there. They're getting excellent goaltending. Again, they're getting Freddie Anderson back. That's only going to bolster the team as a whole with having that as an option to go to. And they have been impressive as all get out of late. And just, again, climbing up that Metropolitan Division, that's becoming more and more competitive and more interesting day by day.
Yep. And we will get into the Devils later on in the show, next segment.
Because not New Jersey, climbing the Metropolitan Division and
exactly.
Not becoming better day by day.
Carolina, by the way, in the first frame against Chicago, outshot them 23-7. Anytime a team outshoots anyone 23-7 in some period, and it just puts everything more into perspective about how bad Chicago is. But don't be deceived by, or try not to be deceived by, this 9-game win streak by Carolina. 3 games, they had a 3-0 win, 4-1, then 3-0 over Chicago on Tuesday. The other 6 in this 9-game run, all decided by 1 goal. So there's 2 things with that. Number one, they can play tight games. But the second thing is, that could have gone either way. It was just 1 goal. That's it. So is that whole thing going to be sustainable for Carolina? No, I don't think you're going to continue to win these 1-goal hockey games, but the fact is you've won 9 straight. So,
well, I mean, it's going to even out at some point.
It'll even out.
What you're pointing out is they're not blowing out the competition on a regular basis. So
I'm not saying what's not impressive. This is impressive, but yeah,
it is impressive because they know how to close out a hockey game. And that's something to be admired. But at the same time, it is going to start to even out. If you're just winning 1-goal games all the time, you're going to start losing 1-goal games. And so, but they're going to come. I mean, it's been 9 in a row. They are going to come back to earth a little bit.
Yep.
I'm just saying that right now, the depth, the top 3 lines, the defense is playing well. They're goaltending with Kochetkov, and Antti Raanta just pitched a beautiful game the other night. And now you have Freddie Anderson coming back. Look out. That's all I'm saying. Look out, Pittsburgh. Look out, Washington. Look out, Rangers. Look out, Devils. The Hurricanes are... I was going to do the blowing gale force 1-2, and I don't have it in me.
I can't do it. I covered it all. Yeah, we'll talk Devils. Next segment, we'll go also talk a little bit about the Flames and Columbus and Buffalo as well. Pucks and 7, Ryan Payton, Victoria, Matty Ash. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matty Ash.
He is Ryan Payton, and I am Victoria Matty Ash. And again, this is Pucks in 7, when we look at the week that was, give our analysis, opinion, and then also look at the week to come. We're going to get to that in a couple of segments from now. But first, still looking back, What's wrong with the Devils, Ryan?
First of all, I said weeks ago, and I know we joke about the list that we put together of different predictions we have. I said weeks ago that this is sustainable. I said the Devils will make the postseason. I'm not saying that they're not going to make the postseason, but I was totally sold on this team. I think it's a combination of one of two things, maybe both. Carolina Hurricanes playing well, other teams in that division playing well. The Devils off to a great start, hot start, unexpected. And I think a lot of it will possibly come. I'm not answering the question, what's wrong with them? I think they're just in a skid. But what makes it more significant is the fact that all these other teams are playing very good hockey. That's what I think.
But they're still 3-6-1 in their last 10.
I know.
So they're not winning enough games.
No, they're not. No, they're
not. To justify sitting in second position in the Metropolitan Division right now.
And what, some of the losses they've had, you lose to Philly, probably should not have lost to Philly.
No.
That was mid-December. You lose to the Panthers, you lose to the Canes, that's fine, no surprise. Then you beat the Panthers, and then you lose, of course, to the Bruins, and they have the Bruins today at 7:30 Eastern time tonight. I don't know. I think they still have the tools. But this to me is kind of where they're going to be. I think they may be third, fourth in that division by the time the season's done. Because they're not a first place team. They're not a first place team.
They are not. But looking at Carolina, Rangers, Pittsburgh, I think fourth is a best case scenario, the way those other teams are playing. Yep. And this is with me considering Washington on the outside looking in.
Right.
So that, I think by the time we're having this conversation in February, it's going to be tough. And it's becoming a tougher task for them moving forward as well with what's going on in their blue line, which is seriously banged up right now. Ryan Graves out indefinitely. John Marino out indefinitely. That is two very large losses for that team that already is struggling this month as much as it is already. I think they got more offense than they were expecting at the beginning. I don't think this is a 5-4 hockey team generally. I think they need to win 3-2 games. And without having that blue line in the best possible shape, I think it's going to be a tougher task or a tougher ask.
Statistically, this team is 23-2 when they score 3 or more goals in a hockey game this season.
That's not their identity, though. That's not who they are.
So this team, so what's the identity? What's their identity? But the whole point with that is this team needs to score a bunch in order to win hockey games. And now they're not scoring as much. So what's the identity, just quickly, of the team?
I think they need to return to what they have been habitually. You're going to have a few guys up front who are going to put the puck in the net.
Right.
And you have to rely on your goaltending. You have to rely on team defense. And you have to rely on a strong... I understand what's happened earlier this season. I just think that's anomalous. I don't think it's sustainable for who they are. And what I'd also like to see is now, especially with what's happening on the blue line in terms of injuries, I'd like to see them give Simone Nemec a chance. He was their number two, or the second overall, their number one draft pick,
right?
Number two overall. So the New Jersey Devils decided to select this guy instead of Shane Wright, who was still available after Montreal bypassed him, and they decided to go with the defender instead. He's had a pretty good season in the AHL, so there's no weirdness with bringing him onto the team. He's sitting right there. He's loaned to Slovakia at present. He's playing in the World Junior Championships, so we'll give him that opportunity, and that's going to be neat for him too, to experience that one last time before he's done with it for good. But once that championship is over, and we're talking a week and a half from now, if the blue line is in the same condition as it is right now, I think you give this kid a shot. He's holding his own against adults in the minors. So what have you got to lose? Especially if they're still losing. And I don't know that they're going to turn things around. Boston, man. I mean, they have to come back from the break to Boston. What's hilarious too, Boston is playing Linus Ullmark tonight. Because they played Jeremy Swayman the night before.
Merry late Christmas. Happy late holidays.
Like, you didn't even get the backup in the second of a back-to-back set. Yeah. What a ripoff.
Yeah, Boston's phenomenal. 18-0-2 at home. Have not had a regulation
loss. And they lost last night, so they're going. Or they lost on Tuesday night, I should say. Yeah. So they're going to be mad.
No, they're going to be ticked. Yeah, they're going to be ticked off. Boy, 7-point gap between Boston and Toronto still in that Atlantic, even after that.
They don't lose. Toronto is smoking, but Boston doesn't lose.
Interesting, too, of those three teams.
They did Tuesday, but they don't lose.
Sometimes they do, but not often. 16-point gap between Boston and Tampa, first and third in that Atlantic. I did not know that, 16-point gap.
They have a couple games in hand, but still, that is a very significant chasm, for sure.
I'm still waiting. You're still waiting. Calgary is still waiting for them to go on, and maybe this whole show is about puns, a heater, but It is a team that is behind Edmonton. I'm still not convinced with this hockey team. Do you know that, you know, the whole plus minus thing in the NHL, right? At the end of the season, if you have more of the plus than the minus, that means you've done a lot better than the others that don't. They're exactly even. They've scored the same amount as they've given up.
111 to 111.
That's intriguing. Hey, good math. You did it. That's intriguing because this is something that I would not think so. Jacob Markstrom, you would not think that they would not be able to score more than he and others have been giving up on the hockey team. I'm still waiting for, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced with this hockey team at all, even though they're not playing terribly. But in that division where Vegas is doing what they're doing, the Kraken are still up there, LA.
Don't get Edmonton. Me started on LA. We're saving that. Okay. We're saving LA for our next segment.
Okay, so Calgary, your thoughts on Calgary then?
We have not seen the best from them from a long shot. I mean, they're no longer flickering.
Wow.
And that's all
really?
I got. They're playing
really?
Better now. Really? But I will tell you what, this time last week, they were in California and they were playing the San Jose Sharks twice. They were playing Los Angeles Kings and they were playing the Anaheim not so mighty Ducks. And we said of the 8 possible points, they needed 7 for that to be construed a success. And they got 7 of 8 points. They beat 3 teams and they lost to the Los Angeles Kings in overtime. It could have been 8, but they got a possible 7 of 8 points. I know they lost on Tuesday night 2-1 tight one. We talked about this earlier to the Oilers, but they were in it. They were in it the entire time. And I think that they are starting to turn, Daryl Sutter is starting to turn the ship around here. You look at that roster, there is absolutely no reason that they can't be leading that the Pacific Division or at least sitting second behind Vegas. They have the talent there.
And let me stop there.
Okay.
How is Daryl Sutter? What is he doing differently in trying to turn the ship around?
I don't think he's doing anything differently.
I think he has nothing to do with anything at all to trying to turn this.
You're saying I'm giving him too much credit. The players are figuring it out.
The players are figuring
I agree with you. Yeah. The players are figuring it out. And there are new characters on that team. And maybe we're expecting too much from Nazem Kadri, Jonathan Huberdeau, right off the hop.
Yep.
Right? I think we're always guilty of that. And I think it goes beyond hockey. I think it's in football. I think it's in basketball. I think it's not baseball as much, but in other team sports, we expect the superstars to gel right away.
Yeah.
And I think that's unreasonable. I think it's an unreasonable ask.
That's a very good point. It's a very good point. It doesn't matter who you are. Huberdeau, great hockey player. Why isn't he doing the same things he did the seasons before in Florida? Same thing with Nazem Kadri with Colorado. But totally get that. And I'm glad you said that because I think I'm being pretty hard on them. I've been hard on them all year. Should I be a little more lenient on this team? I don't know. It's just the expectation, even with players like Kadri and Uyghur and Huberdeau and Markstrom. I mean, just want these guys to... You just want them to play the way that we know that they can play.
You have had a bee in your bonnet about them all season long since the get-go.
Yeah, I know.
It's interesting.
I don't usually have many bees in the bonnets.
You don't. You're not
stings.
A big bee-bonneted guy.
No. No one likes to get stung. Columbus. where do we begin with Columbus? Can I just say one thing quickly off the top? Because this has been on my mind all morning. Johnny Gaudreau, any free agent can sign anywhere he so chooses. Anybody. That's up to you. You get to free agency, whatever. If you want to turn down more money with one team and sign with another for less, fine. Family, you can do whatever you want. That's not what I'm saying. But there is no chance that, first of all, Johnny Gaudreau is the MVP of the hockey team. He's doing the best that he can on a terrible team.
Not even close.
But come on. Hockey's about... I understand it's about moving and finding the right fit and all that stuff, but did he really think that he would be in a better spot on Columbus than he would be if he re-signed in Calgary or if he signed somewhere else? Did he think Columbus was going to take a massive jump this season and be contending for a playoff spot and a Stanley Cup championship?
I don't think he thought they were going to take a massive jump this season. I think he believed he was joining a playoff contender, and it's definitely spooling out to that not being the case at all.
No, I think
we're going to say right now, Columbus is not making the postseason. And when you're already saying that in December, that's very indicative of how the season has been going so far. They're terrible. They are terrible. He's the only one who's contributing anything really. And I know they missed Zach Werenski a fair bit, but that's also just one guy. The goaltending's been awful. The defense has been awful. There's been no secondary scoring whatsoever. Patrick Laine has been okay when he's been there, but again, he was hurt. Now he has COVID, which is awful, and you feel for the guy, but at the same time, he's been a part-time player so far. So you've been asking Johnny Gaudreau to pretty much do it all by himself, which isn't fair, but I do believe that he thought he would have a greater supporting cast. I will say this, they're young. Some of their better players, Cole Sillinger, Kent Johnson, they're just getting into the league. And I think that we need to look a little bit further down the road. I thought they were going to have more success this season. So I'm with Mr. Gaudreau in that respect. I didn't think it was going to be the disaster it has been so far. But at the same time, he also made it very clear he was making that decision for lifestyle. He was starting a family. It's where him and his wife wanted to live.
And good on him. And good on him. I'm never gonna tell someone that they should have signed somewhere else. It's just for him to be in that situation based on where he was, beloved in Calgary, not saying he's not going to be beloved in Columbus at some point, even if he's not already, because he's the only one that by far and away is playing decent hockey on that team.
But he's better than a point per game. Nobody else is even remotely close to that.
No, just the Jackets quickly. So right now, if I'm reading this correctly, they have 22 points. Last season, they had 81. 81 points in 82 games, and they have 22 and 33. I don't even know what on pace, but that's far less than 81. And it just seems like a math. And this is a team, take away the COVID, 56. They had 81, 98, 97, 108. This is not a team that's not been that decent. So what has gone wrong to make them be this bad? It's a massive.
I hope that's a rhetorical question because I don't have the answer to it.
Right. It kind of was because I have no idea either. I have no answer.
Gustav Nyquist isn't scoring. Roslovich isn't scoring. Boone Jenner isn't scoring enough. Like, I don't know. I don't know what I have for you there.
What we have, and we'll try to do this, and anybody listening in Buffalo, anybody listening wherever, the situation has been terrible. So you just wanted to quickly address this and then we can move on.
Well, it's a disaster in Buffalo, like a real one, not a sporting disaster, disaster. Yeah. It's been awful the last few days. I think we're into day six of Buffalo Airport being closed because of the weather. There's a driving ban on. At my last look, 28 people have died in relation in connection to the storm. Some of them horrifically. This is a sports thing. I'm not going to get into it, but it's been an awful, awful situation. Our hearts go out to the people in Buffalo. And this might have actually suited the dropping the clink hammer segment, but I'm a little annoyed. I'm more than a little annoyed with some Buffalo fans who have been on social media urging the team to get out there and make sure you're practicing, boys, because they've been off for a while now. They've had games postponed, home and away. Because
last game was December 19th. That was the
last game.
Okay,
so that's a fair bit ago. And there's no, we're not sure when they're going to get back to it. The airport's closed. They can't leave. Teams can't come in. It's unsafe, but they're not even able to get in their cars to drive to the practice facility because of the driving ban and the unsafe conditions. So it's just a mess right now. I think we all need to hold on. Give it a minute. The games are getting rescheduled. No, they don't need to go out and practice. Yes, we all need to chill out about this and just think about grander picture things and hope that, that city gets back to normal and safely as quickly as possible. And then we can start looking at NHL action once more.
Well said. They were supposed to travel to Columbus Tuesday. That didn't happen. They had won 4 straight. Again, haven't played since December 19th. The game against Tampa at home was postponed on December 23rd. So they're next set to play Thursday.
I don't think that's happening.
When they host Detroit. And based on this and what we're seeing here on Wednesday, I don't think that's going to happen either. I'm with you with that. I'm not a massive social media guy, but when people are saying things like that, taking away from
get out there, boys, like ridiculous.
Yeah, taking away from life what is exactly happening. And I'm all with about sports. Sports is a reprieve from a lot of times the nonsense and the troubles and hardships and all that stuff that people face in life. But this is very relative to what is happening. So I'm with you. Just stop being idiots and let things get back to somewhat normal, whatever that is in Buffalo. And then you can talk about hockey because hockey is not important at all.
Hopefully we see them in Boston on New Year's Eve and then we can slowly get back to normal. But until then, I think we all need to clam up about it.
Yeah. You brought the clink hammer down a tiny bit on Yeah, a little bit.
I didn't plan to.
No, I know you didn't, but that's
rather
okay.
Spontaneous.
You're in that type of mood. See, you can't wait to get to the next segment because you're just all ready to bring it down even more. So we're going to do that next. We're going to bring down the clink hammer. We're going to talk about the Anaheim, as you said, not so mighty Ducks point system. And yes, we jinxed Steven Stamkos. Come on, Steven, just get three. How hard is it to get to 500? You got 497. What's the problem? Pucks and seven. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
This is the segment where, and you, I guess, have said, and I've heard feedback as well, that people enjoy this segment because sometimes, especially the intensity comes out in my personality. And you know I don't have a ton of intensity, well, when it comes to being mean. Essentially, you're not the meanest human being that one could possibly meet.
I'll give you that.
But you're wanting me to get more that way. So I have been lately. I have more to do today. You do as well. So without further ado,
time now to drop the clink hammer.
Yes, this is in honor of Robert Klinkhammer. Look him up. Played a lot of time in the NHL, a ton in the Continental Hockey League as well. And earlier on in the show, we talked about how the Calgary Flames do not have any plus minus differential. They are exactly even. They've scored 111 and they've given up 111. So you do the math, that is zero. What about the Anaheim Ducks, Vic?
I don't pay much attention to the Anaheim Ducks because they've won nine games and
right.
They're not winning a ton. So really not so much on my radar, not as much as other teams, right? I'm still paying some attention. I just glanced at the standings the other day and I did a double take. -63.
Yeah.
So, okay. Vegas is +20.
Uh-huh.
The second worst team in the Pacific, San Jose Sharks, -25. That's still ugly. That's still not great. But after 35 games,
-63.
They're almost -2 every single game. They're not scoring, but they're letting a whole bunch of players score on them. And that's
not
how
I feel terrible for
games. Who's that?
Yeah. I feel terrible for John Gibson.
I'm
going to bring down the clink hammer. First of all, let me just say this, okay? They've scored 83 and given up 146. Mm-hmm. I saw this the other day. Actually, this was, they take on Vegas, right? They take on Vegas on Wednesday. They take on Vegas tonight. And this was included in a write-up of the preview. I'm not going to say who wrote it or whatever, but this was included. Ready? And this just set me back. They're trying to find things to make it look like Anaheim's terrible, but they're trying to find some positivity. It said Anaheim is 9-22-4, right? That's the record. But they have a 6-13-2 record. Ready for this? And I don't think I've ever read this before or seen this. When they serve more penalty minutes than their opponent. So now they're looking at statistics where they're in the penalty box more. Is that team good or is Anaheim bad when they're in the penalty box? My whole point of it is that they're looking for different...
They're grasping at straws.
So they're 6-13-2, just to let people know, when they serve more penalty minutes than the opposition. I will say this.
How much more often do they win when Trevor Zegras' hair looks really good? I mean, we're pretty much on the same page with that, right?
I'm going to bring down the clink hammer on the Anaheim Ducks for not trading John Gibson and for having not traded John Gibson.
Do you know why they haven't traded him though? I don't. I'm asking you.
No, I don't. I don't.
Are you so sure that he wants to be traded?
No, I'm not sure that he wants to be traded. And I think that if he wanted to be traded, he would have asked for a trade or the Ducks would have entertained that idea a while ago. But my whole thing with him is that this to me is a goaltender who I believe is a very good goaltender. He's been playing behind a team that's not been very good. And yes, he's happy. I'm sure he's fine. I mean, who wouldn't want to live, in California? A lot of people love it and the warmth.
Anaheim isn't exactly slumming it weather-wise, that's for sure.
Right. So the contract he has a bunch of years left on the deal, 6.4 through 26-27. He has a modified no-trade clause, all that type of stuff. So he has some sort of control in the contract. I just think that Anaheim, based on where they're at, especially now, I think he'll be gone. But teams are going to, how much money are they going to, you know, take from the contract with when it comes to the cap. But he should not be with that team. That's my point. He should not be with that team. He'd be thriving, and we'd see much more of him and his talent if he was playing behind a better team than the Anaheim Ducks. And I feel for him. He even said two, three weeks ago something like, and he wasn't taking a shot at the organization, but he was saying, yeah, losing's hard. I don't like it. I'm doing whatever I can to, I'm paraphrasing, doing whatever I can to get out of it. I just think how they've treated him. Now, to your point, if he said, I don't want to leave this place, that's
fine. I don't think he does.
But if he, why wouldn't he? Do you want to play behind a team like that?
I think it's different strokes for different folks.
Fair enough.
I think he enjoys where he is. And by the way, this is no insight. This is just out of my own
brain. Yeah.
My take on it is, if he had wanted to be moved already, if he approached management and said, you know what, it's been a slice, it's not going well for me anymore, try and get something back. You're rebuilding anyway. Try and get something back. And it's time for me to move on. I think he would have been gone. That's all. I just think he would have been gone already if he wanted to go. And since he's still there, I think every year he's convincing himself that the talent out front of him is going to be better. This has been a habit for a while now. Actually, it was different last year. Anaheim got off to a strong start last year, and then they kind of fell off a cliff in January, and so did he. So I think he's still waiting for them to all come together. It's not like the John Klingberg signing in the offseason. It's turned out to be a disaster. Talk about one of the most disappointing turnouts going. I just think he's expecting them to accelerate, and every year they don't. He gets super frustrated. I think it's more in his head now than ever before. I'm not even sure that I would want him on my NHL team right now. Not compared to somebody of equal talent. I just think up in the noggin, I think things are a little, I don't know, not in the shape that you would necessarily want your number one to be in, because he's suffered a lot mentally with that team. And I just don't know where his headspace is now. But circling back, I think he would have left already.
Yeah, tough situation. The
minus
overtime...
63. I still can't. I'm like, it's got to be a typo on my page here.
No, it's not. Hey, no, it's not. Yeah, it's on every page, every website. You look at the standings and it's the disaster.
Malloy.
You're not a fan of the overtime points.
Okay, so, I mean, we could devote an entire Pucks in 7 to this.
Oh, we could.
I'm going to tell you right now just what's bothering me about it. You're looking at the point system in general. I don't like it. I have no idea. I understood why they wanted to change back in the day. 2 points for a win, 1 point for a tie. I understand why you wanted to give more incentive to win the game. So now we have to do, and all of a sudden ties are bad. I still don't understand why ties are bad. But why don't we look at soccer in general, European soccer, 3 points for a win, 1 point for a tie. The incentive is there at the end to get the 3 points, because if you're tying every game, you're not winning squat. Okay. You're not going anywhere if you're just racking up a bunch of ties. So the tie is a very weak consolation at only a single point. You get the 3 points for the win. I'm not stuck watching 3-on-3. I know everybody likes it. I can't stand it. Please don't send me hate mail. I just don't like it. It's weird.
You don't like it?
It's not hockey. It's 3-on-3. That's not how you play the game. Why don't you go two on two?
So do you like the shootout?
No! I want to see them play a game of hockey. Can I watch them play a game of hockey? Overtime in the postseason, or how about just postseason hockey in general? What's wrong with it? It's great.
Okay.
It's fantastic. But
you're good with 5-on-5. You'd love to see 5-on-5 overtime hockey, and you would like not to see the shootout?
I'm fine with 4-on-4. Because it still resembles the game. And you actually do play 4-on-4 within the game. You never play 3-on-3.
No.
4-on-4 in overtime. But if you're tied, you get a point. No overtime loss points. How are we awarding points for losing? I have never understood. I've never gotten my head around that. And what's bothering me right now is that Detroit is above Buffalo in the standings in the Atlantic Division. All right? They have 35 points. Buffalo is 34 points. They both played the same number of games.
Uh-huh.
Detroit has 14 wins. Buffalo has 16 wins. They have two more wins, and they are behind Detroit in the standings, and this just philosophically makes zero sense to me.
The 7 overtime
losses.
There's
my clink hammer.
5 more. Oh, that was good. If people could see the emotion coming out of the face as well.
A lot of arm waving happening.
Look, I agree with you. If you lose a game, you shouldn't get anything. End of story. End of story.
Point for losing. Yeah, you tried.
Don't even
go, guys.
Yeah, you tried. Here's that ribbon, participation.
Christ.
Don't even get me going and maybe we can talk about this at some point, because I think a few weeks back we were discussing the idea of kind of getting back to some of the normal old school rules and, you know, the way the standings were in divisions and all-star games, all that type of stuff. Maybe we'll do that later on, but I'm with you. I don't get it. If you lose a game, you lose the game. You don't get a point, plain simple. Go to the shootout. Whoever wins that will get the point. Off
also,
you go.
But ties. What's wrong with ties? What's wrong with a tie? Get 1 point. What's wrong with a tie?
There's nothing wrong with a tie. Steven Stamkos, we apologize, Steven. So we were under the OV watch, right? And we are not under the OV watch till, okay, so did we decide we'll start it again or people should start it when he gets to 8 what? Did you say 870?
20 shy.
Okay, so let's go 870, 874. He'll be 20 shy.
I think
when
we're leaving it. We're leaving it OV watch. We're leaving OV watch for the rest of the season and next.
Okay.
That's my view.
So Stammer, we wanted Ovechkin to get the 800, 801, 802, which he did. We've been wanting Stamkos to get to 500. He's at 497. Needs three more. He was shut out the week before the holidays, so he didn't get it. So we apologize. And then I joked to you coming in the segment, why can't you score three? You've had 497. The next three should not be that hard. But the point is, we jinxed him, and we hope that he's able to get 500. 500. He has Montreal. Then he has the Rangers and then Arizona. So tonight and then Thursday, New York. So back to back and then Arizona on Saturday.
I think we're just compounding the problem now, though, because we're doing it again. We're doing what we did 2 weeks ago. He's going to get to 500 by Christmas. No problem. And he didn't score a single one.
He's going to be in the biggest slump. Middle of January, we'll still be, oh, Stammer, you're on 497. What's the problem? Anyway, we're trying. We want him to get to 500. Who doesn't? I think he's one of the better hockey players that I've ever seen.
So, I adore watching Steven Stamkos play.
I love him. NHL scheduling, kind of going back, not the overtime point thing that you were talking about, but the scheduling. I always find this intriguing, and it's tough to put 82 games together for a team, 41 home, 41 away, for all 32 teams in the span of what, October to the beginning of April, whatever it is, second week of April now. It's not easy. I don't envy the job that these scheduling people have.
I think we're just gently laying down the clink hammer in this particular segment, because the challenge of scheduling an NHL season is obviously serious. I mean, you're sharing arena space with other professional sports teams. There are concerts. There's other events. I can't even imagine. I would not want that job for anything. No, thank you. However, the Los Angeles Kings have played 38 games as scheduled. Nothing's been moved around.
Uh-huh.
The Seattle Kraken have played six fewer 32 games. The Seattle Kraken are behind the Los Angeles Kings in the Pacific Division by 6 points. So I can't even, if I was a Kings fan, again, I'm nitpicking here. If I was a Kings fan, I wouldn't be able to celebrate my team being in second place in the Pacific because they played so many more games than the
team on their behind. And you know Seattle has six games in hand.
Exactly. So are they philosophically, are they in second place?
No.
Seattle has a better record.
Yep. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be in second place. But you know what? The whole scheduling thing too, you don't know what was in Seattle for some of the...
I'm just saying it's a little annoying. And I'm not even blaming anybody in particular. It's just when you look at it, 38 games versus 32 games. And if you want to bring up your plus minus, your goal differential again, team wise, LA is -5.
Yeah, I know.
Seattle
I know.
Is +9.
How can a team in second place be minus in any division? You look at the ones in the division.
I'm going to guess winning a lot of one goal games.
Yeah. Jersey's +28 in the Metro. Toronto's +30. Winnipeg is +20. And then the Kings are -5. Yeah, that's
the math doesn't
very
add
strange.
Up.
No, it doesn't add up. The whole thing, too, about the games in hand and all this stuff. In what, March, if, say the situation is exactly the same in the Pacific with Seattle and LA. Say Seattle's trailing by 6 points and they have, no, let's say 4 points. They have 2-3 games in hand. So much pressure. That's what Aussie don't like. Oh, this is their one game in hand. They have two games in hand. They have to win this game. Because if you don't win this game, the Kings are watching.
I hadn't really thought about that, but you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much extra pressure because we're going to hear it in March. They have 5 games in hand. It's okay. It's all right, Seattle.
It's
you're
going to
be fine. You have 5 games in hand. Don't worry about it. Just focus on the 5 games.
As if the expectation is you're going to win them. Right?
Right.
You have five games in hand. So those are just automatic W's, which of course they're not. You still have to play the hockey game.
No, they're far more stressful. Far more stressful than game 60-something, I guess. Anyway, I just thought about that off the top of my head. So I think that was a kind of more gentle bring down the click hammer, but you got pretty intense.
We laid it down nicely.
Yeah, yeah. You were intense, though, when it comes to the extra point.
It honestly really ticks me off.
For losing.
For the first time during our history of Pucks and Seven, I almost said a very bad word.
With that, we'll take a break. We'll let her get that out when we're in the break. Week to come is next. Vic's Fantasy 7. Stay tuned. Pucks and 7. Ryan Payton, Victoria Manning.
Welcome back to Pucks and 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Madiash.
Now we look to the week to come. We'll get to Vic's Fantasy 7 in a second. To help you out looking at this week, a shorter week, I guess. Yeah, a shorter week when it comes to the holidays as the NHL is off for a little bit. Look to the week to come, different games, and we'll end with the Winter Classic, which is going to be, I love the whole outdoor game. So we'll talk a bit about that in just a bit. Boston, New Jersey tonight. We've talked a bit about the Devils. This is a big game for New Jersey. You said, too, you joke, Boston never really loses. So more than likely, they're going to find a way to win again. But this is a big one. This is a big one for the Devils because they see Carolina, all these other teams, tracking them down. And they're dropping and dropping and dropping. This, to me, Vic, this is one of the most critical weeks for the Devils coming out of the break, going into 2023. And they need to get on a run. And if it hopefully it'll start tonight, but it's going to be tough.
The one advantage they have in Wednesday night's matchup with Boston is they're at home. Right. Doesn't hurt. And Boston is coming off a loss, an overtime loss even, the previous evening. So if you're hoping for a fatigue issue there, I'm not even convincing myself saying it because Linus Ullmark is going to be in net, and I think it's going to be really, really tough for New Jersey to win this game.
But
Boston is coming off a back-to-back, so there's that.
Also, the Devils are 10-8-1 at home. That's terrible.
It is bad. As soon as I said in there at home, I'm like, he's going to say something because their road record is way better.
12-2-1. 12-2-1. So many odd things happening this season in the NHL. 12-2-1 away from home and 10-8-1 at home.
But you couldn't let it slide, could you?
No, I couldn't. I was hoping, salivating at the chops, waiting for this. What about Thursday? A couple games that we wanted to look at. Canucks, Jets, Toronto, Arizona.
Why do we care about the Canucks and the Jets? Uh-huh. Because it is going to be, as long as he plays, and I don't see any reason why he wouldn't, Sam Gagner's 1,000th NHL game. What is even more impressive about Sam Gagner's NHL career, and I mean, okay, the 1,000 games is the most impressive part of it, but he's 33 years old, and he has played for 7 teams, and it feels like more. It feels like he's played for 15 teams because it feels like he's constantly moving around. But he started with 6th overall draft pick for the Oilers way back in 2007 or 6 or whatever it was. Edmonton, Arizona, Philadelphia, Columbus, Vancouver, back to Edmonton, then to Detroit, now in Winnipeg. So he's a well-traveled fella.
And that was, you said, Edmonton, back to Edmonton. So between 2013 to the end of 2019, he was in Edmonton, Arizona, Philly, Columbus, Vancouver. So a span of what, 5 years?
Oh, he was all over the map. Right.
All over the map.
Don't unpack your suitcase there, Gagner.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Sam Gagner, in 6th overall pick, too, I don't know. Maybe I can do some history looking into some of this, but how many 6th overall picks have played for 7 teams?
I'm going
teams?
To bet not a lot.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think so either.
He's just had such a volatile career. When he's good, he's so very, very, very good. And when he's not, he's not.
Goes back to what I said about Edmonton all those years ago. They had all the high draft picks and they just couldn't do anything with them. They had a stretch of draft picks and this, not saying number one overalls, but Gagner was part of it, number 6 overall in that year, and they just couldn't do anything with it.
Well, they didn't hate him that much. They brought him back.
Right. Because they had no one else to help.
Right.
Toronto, Arizona. Number one, everyone knows where Arizona's playing, ASU. And we picked this because...
Can you call it Mullet Arena, please? It has one of the best names in the
NHL.
Okay,
forget ASU. It's Mullet Arena. Mullet Arena. And I wonder if how many family and friends of Austin Matthews will have the mullets on or given the mullets because he's going to be there. Every time Toronto goes anywhere, pretty much, they have a lot of fans. They have a ton of fan support. So we're thinking that basically, I don't know what, let's do a percentage, 90, 92% that it's going to be mostly Toronto fans? you think?
I think we're blowing it a little out of proportion, but considering the arena seats it'll sound about like $5,000.
It'll sound like it'll be 90% full.
Absolutely. First, you bring in Austin Matthews' family and friends. That's going to fill out because he can certainly afford tickets for everybody he's ever met in his life.
Right.
So that's not going to be an issue. Plus, there's just going to be a lot of fans of Austin Matthews because he comes from Arizona and they've been rooting for him ever since. So it is definitely, I think it's going to very much feel like a home game for the Toronto Maple Leafs when they visit Arizona on Thursday.
We talked about Carolina, and we'll do one game coming up on Sunday in a second, but Friday, Florida and Carolina. The Panthers, like I've told you during this podcast, I'm not sold on them. I'm really not. And it's kind of interesting because they're mirroring Calgary. Calgary and Florida are having pretty much the same season.
I was just
going to
say the same thing.
Because they engaged in a trade. Because it's all about the trade, the new people in different places, and you can't gel all this type of stuff. But for the anytime you go up against a team like Carolina, who is the hottest team in the NHL right now, I mean, Washington's hot too, but Carolina's just flying. Anytime you go up against a team like that, it is a major test. It's a really big test. And for the Panthers, show me something too. You're not as bad as the record indicates, but if you look at all the teams in the Atlantic, kind of like in the Metro, the separation is coming. They're separating. Tampa, Boston.
They've lost three straight, which doesn't
help.
They've lost.
So it's a big one for me, especially when it comes to the Panthers.
They are my flames in the East in the sense that they're not nearly as good. They haven't been as good as they should be, and I'm still waiting for them to improve, and I still think that they are going to be a playoff contender.
Ottawa, Detroit. What do you think? Going to be fun just because
they're both playing some fun hockey.
Right.
They're fun teams to watch.
I'm pulling for them.
I think they're both on the rise.
Yeah.
Neither one of them are going to be in the postseason. It doesn't always matter. Sometimes it's just you want to sit back and relax and watch a couple of teams go at it that are having a good time out there and are improving year by year. Both of those teams are a lot of fun and they're also getting better all the time.
This will even get you going even more because of the drop the clink hammer on the point system. Detroit has 35 points. They have 14 wins. Ottawa has 15 wins and 33 points.
I don't want to talk about it. Okay. I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
But I just want to bring that up because you make a good point. That's my
Oh, you whole... lost? Here's a point, losers.
Okay. Sunday. That was Saturday. Sunday, I kind of wanted to see where the Devils were at the end of this whole thing because they take on Carolina. We've talked about the Devils and how they're slumping and the measuring stick, again, going back to kind of the Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes, the measuring stick is playing against the really good teams. The Devils have been a really good team for most of the year. Where they're at the end of this week, I think that this week is a massive one for the Devils.
But they're in so much trouble. They're in so much trouble. They could be 0-3 by the end of this week.
Because I know.
Listen to this. Bruins, Penguins, and then, as you mentioned, on Sunday, the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Those are three teams that are just not losing a lot of hockey games right now. They could be tumbling right down the Metropolitan Division. I'm worried about them. I don't care, but I'm worried. No.
How many people would have thought that? I think a lot of people would, even New Jersey fans. It's fun. I'm not saying it's not going to, you know, they're not going to completely get out of a playoff spot and they're going to go downhill from here on in. But again, hockey's about when you're not playing well, the teams that are chasing you are playing well. Next thing you know, you're the one chasing. And that's kind of the way it feels for
And you can very well be in fifth place, down from second, just
That's
by
crazy.
The end of this week.
That's crazy.
Which is pretty nuts.
Usually we do just, you know, the games over the course of the week and we end on Sunday, but big one coming up Monday. Love the outdoor games. You know this, NHL Winter Classic, whether it's that, Stadium Series, whatever it is, going to be a fun one. I think they've played in almost every game outdoors. I know they haven't, but it seems like they're always playing, which is fine. They're a great team. Good, but just give some other teams a bit more. Anyway,
I think it's just I think it's because Sidney Crosby is so recognizable, and
fair
I think
enough.
A lot of very fair weather fans sit down to watch that game, and they want to see somebody they know.
It's not just the teams, though, Vic, that are making the headlines, right?
No, this one's happening at Fenway. I really hope the weather holds up because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, Penguins at Boston, New Year's Day. Oh, it's actually not New Year's Day. It's actually the second,
which
is like the fake New Year's Day, but it doesn't matter. It's the Winter Classic. Yep. This is the one. This is the outdoor game of the season for me. And I'll tell you, this time, the NHL got the entertainment right. They haven't in the past. Don't get me started on Kid Rock. That's going to be another 20 minutes. This one they got right. They have the Black Keys, Grammy winners. They have the Boston Pops. So an eclectic edition. It's not
Love
just
it.
Rock. It's not country, whatever. Bringing some class to the affair as well. Not to say the Black Keys aren't classy, but you know what I mean. Different type of music altogether. And then, of course, a classic from Victoria's youth.
Kiss her lover. Wrong move, you did. That girl is
poison. That was your jam. Was that your jam?
That was my jam. That 15-year-old Victoria is absolutely thrilled right now. Belle Biv DeVoe, I'm telling you, it still slaps. That song still slaps.
No, it does.
It has one of the greatest riffs. They're great. They're a fun R&B band altogether, but I mean, not too many hits. But that one was just so, oh, I can't even. It's one of the greatest riffs of, never mind the 90s, of just maybe 30 years. You can't help move into it. I'm so excited. I don't usually take in the entertainment when the stuff, that's usually when I go and make a snack or put on laundry or something if I'm at home. But in this case, I'm going to be absolutely glued for my Belle Biv DeVoe. Right on, NHL. Right on.
I can't wait. You just went back to your youth as I'm watching you right now and listening. By the way, before
ready
we
to
get
bust a move, man. Seriously.
Oh, okay, hold on. Go ahead.
No. Can't
wait. I got to see that in person. Quickly, before we get to your Fantasy 7, so many travel issues in the last number of days. This family is going, Tim Mayer and his family, they plan to attend the game on the 2nd. So Southwest Airlines flight from Phoenix continued to be delayed. So he said, forget it. Rented a car. They're driving 39 hours, a 39-hour trek. His 17-year-old wanted to go to the Winter Classic. So that's what they're doing, driving 39 hours.
Where are they coming
game?
From?
Phoenix. Phoenix okay. all the way to Boston. So
you're supposed to do it the other way around. You're supposed to start north at this time of year and go south. But I get it. I mean... Good on them. You can't count on the airlines right now in the United States and Canada. Not necessarily even their fault, but right now it's just air travel is very much not up in the air. How about that?
And they'll never forget. All right, Fantasy 7.
All right, I've got Jake DeBrusk. He's playing on the top line with Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron, and he's scoring, and he is completely under-rostered in ESPN.com leagues. So he's probably, if you don't play ESPN.com fantasy, first of all, you should, but if you play elsewhere, he's probably going to be under-rostered in your league as well. Nick Schmaltz is on a heater with Arizona right now. All I need to say about that. Freddie Gaudreau, centering a line with Matt Boldy in Minnesota. Again, on a heater, it's not going to last forever, but when Frederick Gaudreau is on, he is on.
Yep.
Michael Rasmussen. Who's that, Victoria? Michael Rasmussen, who plays
who's
in
that, Victoria?
He plays in Detroit, but right now he is skating on a top line with Dylan Larkin and he's scoring. This is a big boy and he usually is used in the bottom six, but right now he's up there and he is putting up points. So if you want like a sneaky off-radar sleeper pick, whether to stream or to play in daily fantasy, I would highly recommend Michael Rasmussen for as long as he is in that position. We talked about Jordan Staal just playing like Jordan Staal of years ago with Carolina. He's putting up points like nobody's business. It's going to end, but if you can pick him up again as a streaming option, daily fantasy pick for now, I would say do it. Eric Gustafsson, you know, the hat trick against the Maple Leafs the other day, Ryan? Remember? Well, as lovely as that was, it looks like he's going to have opportunities to score more because of what unfortunately happened to John Carlson with the face injury, and he's out indefinitely. Eric Gustafsson is now anchoring a power play with Alexander Ovechkin. Top power play in Washington. Pick him up if you want points from the blue line. And let's not forget about Darcy Kemper. We have a little bit because we've been talking about Charlie Lindgren and how well he has played in relief of Darcy Kemper when he's been out injured. Darcy Kemper has come back for Washington and he looks like the best Kemper going.
240 goals against, 920 save percentage, 10 wins on the season. And a huge part, as you said, and we talked about too, the Capitals with that 5-game
really good hot, really hot recently.
Yeah.
Really good right now. So play him now for sure.
Second oldest team in the NHL, but they're playing very youthful at this point in time. All right, we're out of time. We'll be back at it next week. So it's going to be shorter. So we've got, 5 days between the next podcast. We'll get it back out on Monday because it's been a shorter week. Enjoy the Winter Classic 2 coming up next week on the 2nd. Enjoy the week to come and always appreciate the listen. You can follow us again on Twitter at RyanPayton75, at Victoria Matiash, and you can hear us wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon, Apple, Google. We're also on the Sirius XM app. On behalf of Victoria, I'm Ryan. Thanks for listening and we'll talk next week.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the Sirius XM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.